Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to another episode of the Blitz Podcast. I'm Steve Gallo, and I'm joined by my trusty sidekick and host, Harley Schultz. Harley, week five. We are approaching week five.
This is when you know what your lot in life is. Week five, week six is the point in the season where you know, I mean, you're either, if you're in it for redraft, obviously you're kind of set. You're not a whole lot you can do. But if you're in a dynasty league, if you're in a keeper league, week five, week six is when you have to start making that hard decision of what are you going to do to prep yourself either for the playoffs this season or to start rebuilding for the following season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even talking about that. Just saying week five. We were just in the preseason. Man, it goes so fast.
It's October. By the time We know, we're a month and a half away from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, actually. It really is. It's going by so fast, I almost feel like it's cheetah time. Tyreek's fast, that's all. In any event, this week, what we're going to cover for our listeners, so they don't, in case they don't know, if anybody's new, we are recording Monday night during Monday Night Football. It has not kicked off yet, but it's kicking off, I think, in about 5-10 minutes. So we won't know what's happened or happening unless it happens and we catch it out of the corner of our eye. But we're going to talk about to hedge or not to hedge. That is the question. As well as buy or sell Kirk Cousins and maybe Justin Jefferson due to some possible trade things that may be brewing in the NFL. Who knows? But before any of that happens, we have to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Kenny Pickett will likely miss week five after sustaining a knee injury this past Sunday. In his place, veteran quarterback Mitch Trubisky is expected to start. Considering how poorly the Steelers' offense has been to start the season, perhaps Trubisky will provide an upgrade from Pickett. This, of course, should be a wake-up call for Pickett. I mean, if you are outplayed by Mitch Trubisky, maybe the NFL is not for you. Deshaun Watson was a late scratch Sunday, supposedly due to lingering issues and fluid buildup within his shoulder. Of course, Monday morning, his head coach Kevin Stefanski came out and stated that Watson was medically cleared to play, and it was actually Watson's own decision to sit and rest his arm. This is really interesting to hear. I mean, we know that Watson has a huge contract, but I had no clue that Watson makes the playing decisions for the Browns instead of relying on their coaching staff and their training staff. Well, knowing this new information, Deshaun, if you are listening, as a Kareem Hunt owner, I would really like it if you could declare Jerome Ford inactive for the rest of the season. Despite being completely immobile in the pocket due to a calf injury, the Cincinnati Bengals will continue to deploy Joe Burrow as their starting quarterback. In related news, despite being completely incompetent in the pocket, the Falcons will also continue to deploy Desmond Ridder as their starting quarterback. After Javonte Williams left Sunday's game with a hip injury, undrafted rookie Jaleel McLaughlin stepped in and posted an impressive 104 total yards and a score. This came as a surprise to anyone who expected Samaje Perine to step into the featured role if Williams were to suffer an injury. When asked about the play of his rookie running back, Sean Payton replied, "This was the best performance that he had seen from a Jaleel since Family Matters." And finally, following a strong showing on Sunday Night Football, the oft-maligned Zach Wilson was asked if he was trying to impress Taylor Swift with his performance. In response, Zach said, "Nah, she's too young for me." This has been your BPN News Update.
That was a softball I saw coming from a million miles away. Hey, is there
That's a great song, by the way.
Okay. is there a more, what's the word I want to use? Is there a team that is more disappointing this year than what we've seen from the Bengals so far, even if it is due to injury?
Yeah, I mean, it leads to the big question. What if they had just allowed Burrow to skip out the first couple games and allow himself to get healthy and get healed up? I mean, then you might be staring at a record of 2-2, or maybe even 3-1 if they get lucky and win one of those two games. And all of a sudden, they've got the rest of the season ahead, and they still have a chance to compete in a fairly mediocre division. Now, I mean, is there any coming back for them?
Yeah, I don't know. It's seriously scary times for somebody that's a Bengals fan in my eyes. And maybe we'd be saying the same thing about the Vikings if they didn't come back and pull off a win against the Panthers. But I don't think the Vikings had anywhere near the expectation of what the Bengals have. 1-3.
The Bengals were legitimately a couple of plays away from the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they really were. And or a flag away from the Super Bowl, possibly, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. They're a good team. I think that eventually they could turn around. Like you said, it's a weaker division, especially with – seems like everybody can't get out of their own way in that division. What are we going to be having? The leaders
– Baltimore's got injuries all over the field. Obviously, Cleveland lost Nick Chubb for the season. Is that Pittsburgh – right now, it sounds like Kenny Pickett will probably only miss 1 week, but it sounded earlier today like it was a much worse injury for him. And again, they've been without Deontay Johnson the entire season so far. So that's a division that's up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Baltimore's 3-1 does not feel strong.
Not at all.
And the let's see, they scored 4 touchdowns. They were all offensive. Those accounted for the second, third, fourth, and fifth offensive touchdowns that the Browns have allowed this year. But prior to
touchdowns. I think that'll be the point for this week in terms of saying, how did we miss out on this guy? We both were against playing Mark Andrews based on his price point last week.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he went out there and did very well against Cleveland and scored twice. And it wasn't like it was 2 freak touchdowns. It wasn't Donald Parham Jr. It was decent yardage. So I think it was 80 total yards to go along with the 2 touchdowns.
Yep. But you know what? Process over results is how you win in the long run, I think. So, hey, in addition to the to hedge or not to hedge and the buy sell on JJ and Kirk, we're also going to have our normal, you know, pay up, stay aways, and value plays this week. So, you ready to get into the to hedge or not to hedge? I'll give you your soapbox and let you preach at us and tell us how and what and when.
I think that's not a bad idea. I think that the key thing to remember with hedging is if you're going to prune a bush, you want to make sure that you cut the edges first a little bit. You want to make sure you cut them evenly you're talking about hedging in terms of betting.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I actually thought you were in a condo,
and I don't have any hedges to trim here. So yeah,
I actually thought you were actually going to roll an analogy in about hedge cutting to hedging for betting purposes, but what do I know? So go ahead.
No. When you're betting, a lot of people will say that you should hedge stuff. And personally, it really depends on where you are in your budget. If you're in a spot where you're like just starting to develop a budget to work from, and you haven't had that huge score yet, then it's much, much easier to opt for the hedge. But once you've got a larger budget to work with, then it doesn't hurt so much to take the higher risk. And those situations, you usually don't hedge the bet. Now, of course, I say that you've got like the big time bettors who will put down thousands of dollars a day, and sometimes on single games, where they'll be playing options that just make absolutely no sense. In those cases, they're still running, they're running their gambling operation as a business.
Yep.
So again, they have a larger equity to work from. If you don't have that equity to work from, then it behooves you to take a little bit of a hedge against something.
So I think in one of the scenarios to what you're hinting at is you're not always hedging a singular bet. You could be hedging a lineup before you even start your lineup, right? So as an example, maybe Samaje Perine didn't step into that role because it would have influenced how the game plan was written, and then you have somebody else stepping into a role they don't know type thing. So this week when you're making that lineup and you're like, I want to roll with the rookie, but you know what? I'm going to hedge that, and I'm going to make the same exact lineup, but I'm going to go with Samaje Perine in place of the rookie. That's a hedging option also, right?
That is 100% a great concept. Just looking at tonight, again, this is Monday Night Football. When you're dealing with ASAP, like the New York Giants and Seattle, you've got a lot of receivers for the New York Giants.
Yep.
That are kind of all interchangeable. You've got your Paris Campbells. You've got your Wandale Robinsons. You've got your Isaiah Hodgins. You've got Darius Slayton. Any one of those four could be the guy who scores this week. Now, here's the thing. When you're building your showdown lineup for Monday Night Football here, you're going to have to choose one of them. But, again, it's nearly impossible to discern which one to go with. Now, personally, I would say if you're playing on FanDuel and you're doing a FanDuel captain's lineup, I would go with either Isaiah Hodgins or with just losing my tongue for a second here.
Wandale or Darius?
Or Darius Slayton, because they're ones that I would feel would be a little bit more likely to score a touchdown. Whereas Wandale Robinson is going to be the guy who's probably going to catch more passes. And Paris Campbell, too. I guess he's kind of built he might be a decent target in the red zone, too. But a guy like Wandale Robinson is a guy who's going to catch a lot of passes, but there's no guarantee he's going to score. But again, you're going to be rostering one of them. So if you feel confident in starting a lineup that's built around Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, one of the giant receivers, and whatever your fifth player or sixth player is going to be, that's when you can make four or five lineups and have one lineup with each of those guys in there for the Giants. Because, again, it's really kind of interchangeable with those guys in a lot of situations.
Exactly.
Now, I say this in that one of the plays I missed on last week was I was overly invested in Nathaniel Tank Dell for Houston instead of Nico Collins. Now, had I thought about things a little bit closer, I would have had more exposure to both of them in that game, knowing that I liked the offense in that game and I liked them to score touchdowns. And I even said, I think I pointed out last week, is that Pittsburgh had allowed two other teams to have one receiver score two touchdowns.
Right.
So it's like, okay, there's going to be two touchdowns potentially scored by one of the two receivers. I just picked the wrong one.
If you'd have hedged it and done a lineup with one and the other, then you're good.
Yeah. I actually should have looked at the fact that in both the cases of the two touchdowns from the receivers against Pittsburgh, they were both in both cases scored by a taller receiver. So I could have made the discernment that, okay, well, Nico would have been the play then over the diminutive Tank Dell.
Yeah. Not much to really say about
it. Kind of a mistake. But that's a perfect example, though, of where if you are to put together your lineup, and you have that tough call between a guy like Adele and Collins, or you have that tough call between a guy like Juan Dale and Isaiah Hodgins, make two lineups.
Right.
Keep the rest of your lineup the same and put that player in alternately.
Yep. And that is a hedge because you are paying more to try and win the same amount, basically. Right. So.
Yep. And as I'd like to bring up one other type of hedge that seems to be a good way to do things is if for whatever reason you're in your highest dollar dynasty league and you're facing someone, you can hedge your DFS lineups by playing the guys facing you because they're bound to go off against you.
That helps to make the pill be the bitter pill a little easier to swallow. So yeah, slightly different tweak on hedging, but it works, right?
It totally works. It's almost a guarantee that again, if you're playing in like your most serious highest dollar or like longest standing or worst punishment dynasty league, if you're facing someone in that one, look at the players you're facing because one of those guys is going to go off each week, and find a way, like I said, to mechanically insert that player into your weekly lineups in a daily fantasy standpoint, because then if and when they go off against you in your season-long or dynasty leagues, again, you'll get some positive retribution in the fact that you might get a payday that week.
Right.
I look at it this way. I had one of my baseball leagues that just ended a couple days ago where I kind of knew that I wasn't going to finish in the money in that league, but we also gave up prizes for leading the league in strikeouts, leading the league in all the individual rotisserie style categories. So as the season progressed on and over the last month or so, I basically did constant lineup changes and free agent acquisitions to try to build up my counting stats so I could take the strikeouts category and take the saves category, a couple other categories. So I got a little bit of money back on that, even though I knew that I wasn't going to win the league or cash in one of the top three spots too.
I'd call that salvaging. That's what I'd call that. I'd call that fantasy salvage.
Scavenging.
There you go. All right. Anything else you want to add on hedging?
No, if you want your hedges trimmed, call a professional. Do not come to us. I know nothing about that. But if you want questions answered about whether or not you should hedge a particular bet, send me a tweet. I'll gladly look at the options for you and give you my personal advice.
There you go. And you can send me one too, and I'll send you to Harley. In any event, let's talk about buying and selling. We're talking about hedging, right? And we're talking about money. So let's talk about buying and selling. Minnesota is 1-3. They came back from a double-digit deficit to win and get their first win of the year. There are many people that are talking about how, and maybe this changes with the performance that was had on Monday night against Kansas City now too, but many people are talking about Minnesota should just blow it up, trade Kirk to the New York Jets. So
it's definitely been talked about. I mean, it's a popular subject matter here on the local media circuit. It's also very popular, obviously, on Twitter or X. You see many, many people suggesting that the Vikings should just go ahead and tank the season and go after one of the two or four high-end quarterbacks that are going to be coming out in this draft class. Ultimately, though, I mean, what it comes down to is that Kirk Cousins is, by NFL standards, a aging quarterback.
Yep.
He is under a contract that is ending at the end of the season. There's no options on either side. So either he is going to sign a new contract with the Minnesota Vikings, or he's going to sign a new contract someplace else. Now, right now, obviously, if you go and ask Kirk Cousins what he wants to do, he is going to be the gentleman and say he wants to stay and finish his career with Minnesota. Yep. Now, that's what I would say. That's what any player would say.
Yep.
Whether or not that's actually what Kirk Cousins is feeling, we don't know.
Unless you're Antonio Brown, you might not say that.
I was going to say, or Jonathan Taylor, right?
Yeah, that's true. They're the two.
So, yeah, it's a interesting dynamic here because most of most of the local pundits here in Minnesota are really saying we've got to figure out a way to get something out of this, because either we let him walk, we pay him more than he's probably worth for the last couple of years of his career, or we just get nothing for him.
Yeah.
Or we trade him.
So
so right now his value is super, super high, so it'd be very easy to trade him.
Yeah. So fantasy wise, you know, I'm zero quarterback. I don't see any problem if he goes to the Jets, because he's got another alpha wide receiver in Garrett Wilson.
He does. Garrett Wilson's looked very, very good, even with Zach Wilson at the helm. I'm actually amazed. Zach Wilson looked very competent last night. So there's a chance that he could be potentially valuable.
I don't know. Fool me once, fool me, whatever that saying is, right? Blind squirrel.
But it's not like Garrett Wilson, though, too. They've got other complementary pieces, too. They've got
They do.
Alan Lazard, who's a field stretcher for Green Bay a couple of years ago. They've got Tyler Conklin, a big, solid pass-catching tight end, who actually was with Kirk here in Minnesota for several years.
Yeah. So, and I think that, one, Zach doing well against the Chiefs last night, and Minnesota getting their win probably makes this die down a little bit. But if Minnesota were to run off two or three more losses in a row, and Zach starts looking like Zach from earlier this year and last year, it could ramp up again. Fantasy-wise, I don't care where Kirk lands. I think you get the same sort of production, quite honestly. Might take a small hit going to New York. But my concern is, what do you do if you're a JJ or a Hawk owner or even a Madison owner? Do you make some proactive moves now, thinking that, hey, this could hit me? And when it hits you, okay, when it hits you, make no mistake, if it's in 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks at that point, right?
Yes.
So do you make those corresponding moves now, or do you stand pat and you live with your decisions?
Unfortunately, myself, I'm actually one of the few people here in Minnesota that agrees that we should try to unload Kirk right now, because looking ahead, their schedule in the next 3 weeks, there is a high likelihood that they finish 1-2 over the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
Which, I mean, basically, and again, they have a matchup after that against the Packers in Green Bay, which is always a tough out for the Vikings. So they could easily go 1-3 over the next 4 games.
Yes.
Which, I mean, if you're looking at it from that standpoint, it's a dead season. Now, the big issue that the Vikings have working against them is they did not negotiate a contract extension with Justin Jefferson before the season started. Or they did not complete one. They were in the negotiation process, but they didn't come to an agreement. So what that means is that all of a sudden, Justin Jefferson is just as important to the Kirk Cousins future decision for them as Kirk Cousins is.
That is true.
Do they risk Justin Jefferson playing the rest of his 24-year-old season and all of his 25-year-old season with an unproven quarterback? That's you're talking about two of his peak years. And then after 25, obviously, if they don't sign him by then, Jefferson would be a free agent too.
Right.
So I think you've got to appease Jefferson. And again, he will say the good things. Jefferson's not an egotistical wide receiver. He's a very humble wide receiver. He will come up and say, I go out there and I play no matter who the quarterback is. But the truth of the matter is, he's not going to want to waste a couple seasons of his life playing with a bad quarterback. So either they go out and trade for that superstar quarterback rookie next season. I mean, we're talking one of the top two guys, a Drake Mayo or a Caleb Williams, or they re-sign Cousins at least for the next couple of years. Those are the two options as far as Jefferson is concerned.
Well, and with
now,
Jefferson,
fantasy standpoint,
hold on. Go ahead. With Jefferson, though, we could look at it a little bit different too. If he knows he's going to have unproven for 2 years, that could impact his value also, right?
Exactly.
So he may say, pay me now. I want my big deal now, and I'll be here to help that quarterback along. So he's going to get paid now versus risking injury, risking poor production, and then you hit free agency and it's a what have you done for me lately league, right? Where
and
guys
I say it's nice though that, I mean, again, Justin Jefferson is not your prototypical I don't want to say baby wide receiver.
Prima donna.
He's not a prima donna. He is truly a humble wide receiver. Anyone's had the fortune of talking to him or hearing him talk
like AJ Brown
about his upbringing and his becomings. The guy is like, he's perfect for a Midwestern market like this.
Yeah. I tried to sneak a joke in there. I said like AJ Brown. So,
there's nothing perfect about AJ Brown.
Nothing humble about him either.
No,
I guess I could have said like Jamar Chase. Always a fin open.
But yeah, getting back to the fantasy implications, I think that Justin Jefferson has enough talent to end up achieving wide receiver one status, even if the team is forced to go with someone lesser at quarterback the rest of the season, whether it be a Zach Wilson in a trade or whether it be Nick Mullins as the second string quarterback for the Vikings, or whether it just be someone else that they sign off the free agent mill. He's going to be able to produce 6 or 7 catches, 75 to 85 yards, and a touchdown a game still with a mediocre to poor quarterback. Now, those obviously aren't first overall pick numbers, but it comes down to what you're saying. You're not going to be able to trade Justin Jefferson and get back enough to make you feel good about it.
Well, I was going to say, getting wide receiver one numbers and getting wide receiver one numbers, two totally different things. I think JJ owners are in between a rock and a hard place, quite honestly. What my honest opinion. You're going to have to roll the dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have to live with the consequences. So, I mean, you might be
able to... And as we've seen, though, I mean, Zach Wilson...
Yeah.
...has kept Garrett Wilson viable.
There's also no telling that if they did a trade for Kirk that they'd send Zach back either.
That is true.
You know, that's not a given. So, I don't know.
This probably is all moot because the team has come up and said, we're not trading Kirk, which, again, that usually – that coaches speak, that's GM speak. Yeah, say what you want about both coach O'Connell and GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, neither of them was around when they first acquired Kirk Cousins here in Minnesota. So, I mean, yes, obviously they will come out and say that he's our quarterback and blah, blah, blah. But neither one of them has a true
tie to him,
like tie to his career.
Yeah. Question.
And realistically, if I'm Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I may want to get out of Kirk Cousins just because I want to be able to show to ownership that I am capable of identifying and establishing a high-end rookie quarterback for myself, particularly because he's under a lot of pressure over a very heavily maligned and mostly failed first draft in last season, not this season's draft, but the previous season's draft, where realistically only one player from that draft has performed even slightly above average, and that player is actually very close to being benched.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things at play.
From a fantasy standpoint, if you've got Justin Jefferson, you're just kind of stuck with him. You're not going to be able to sell him for what you feel he's worth. And if the trade happens and Kirk Cousins is gone, you're just going to have to hope that Justin Jefferson performs enough.
Here's the key. I think this is the key. You're right. I think that you're stuck with him for the most part. But if you really feel like, damn, I didn't think about this, guys. Why you do this to me? I'm going to trade him. You may want to target somebody that's not quite performing up to snuff, like Jamar Chase, right? And maybe try to get something back for him. But you're kind of doing in reverse of what could happen with JJ, right? And then it may not happen. So, honestly, if it were me, I'm probably sitting pat.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what the Vikings are going to end up doing too, is just sit pat on the situation. And it It probably is the wrong decision because, again, as I said, they will be 2-4 after week 6, and they will probably be 2-5 by week 7. And at that point, it's going to be too late for them.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that just pull if they were 0-4 at this point, I think that
they very easily could be.
Yeah, they should be maybe. Then I think it's a different story. And if you add in that Zach crapped the bed instead of playing pretty well last night, I think then the rumors really would have some heat cooking them, if that makes any sense. But
I think one last thing on this is that it's crazy to think of the fact that, yes, they could be 0-4 right now. They also could very easily be 4-0 right now because it's literally been one or two plays in every single game, including multiple turnovers within the 5-yard line over the course of the last couple of weeks that has cost this team a couple of these games. They could easily have beaten the Eagles. They could have easily beaten the Chargers. Buccaneers, they just took for granted in week one, and they ended up losing a game that they should have won on paper.
Well, you remember when we had Dungy on, he said the difference between the worst team in the league and the best team in the league is not as large as people think. And it truly is a game of inches. So
sometimes Arizona beats Dallas.
And yes, they do.
As a Philly fan, I'm sure you're happy about that one.
You know who my two favorite football teams are, right?
Philadelphia and whoever is facing Dallas?
Whoever's beating Dallas, yes, absolutely.
Whoever's beating Dallas.
And that's even bittersweet since it was Jonathan Gannon who couldn't get a damn stop in the Super Bowl and cost us a trophy. But that's okay. He beat Dallas, so we'll give it to him. Anyway, tell you what else we can help people beat. Maybe some DFS stuff. So let's head on over there and let's do our pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays this week. And for those that don't know, Harley and I don't discuss this in advance. Whatever is being said and heard for the first time by each of us. So with that, Harley's going to set an over-under, and I'm going to get it wrong. Go ahead, Harley.
The Vegas over right now is 5 for this week, and the reason why it's gone up 1 from last week is because this is the first week of the season with bye weeks. We've got 4 teams on bye this week: Cleveland, the Chargers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We also have the 2 Thursday night teams, Chicago and Washington. We've got another London game, which will not be on the main slate, which is Jacksonville and Buffalo. And, of course, we've got Sunday night football and Monday night football, which are Dallas at San Francisco and Green Bay at Las Vegas. So we're talking 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 teams off of the main slate this week. So we've got a little bit smaller player pool to choose from. That's going to up the chances that we're going to match.
And I hate this week's lineups more than I hate 9:30 a.m. Sunday games. And that's saying something. I despise 9:30 a.m. Sunday games. Imagine if we were on the West Coast. Now, I have a question for you. They're 5 hours ahead of us, right?
Yes.
So a 9:30 game is an afternoon game. Why not have it be 1 o'clock our time, East Coast time, and it's a 6 o'clock, or have a 2 o'clock start, and make it true prime time there, and more people, and make it a game of the week where you push it on the networks and it's not regional. They have to include it. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it would make so much more sense.
I would like that, certainly, yes.
Yeah, I just hate Sunday games. So, but guess what? We don't have to play them in DFS.
Or we can wake up extra early and put some showdown lineups together like I did last week.
good on you, because I slept through that game. much like the Falcons
I almost did actually. We had a high school, for those that don't know, I work with a local high school helping with their football program. And our game Friday night was actually, they played the first series of the game, and then it was called due to lightning strikes at the stadium. So, we had to come back Saturday afternoon and play the game. And then, of course, I was up late on Saturday compiling all the information from that. And so I didn't get a ton of sleep Saturday night and Sunday morning. I was up, obviously, early Sunday morning to watch the Jags and the Falcons play. And it was nice to, again, like I said, win a little extra money on the Jags. But, again, that game didn't have the offensive skill players that are off the board this week. I mean, Jacksonville and Buffalo, both high-end offenses. the Chargers, high-end offense. Seattle's got many weapons. Tampa Bay's got some big receivers. Dallas and San Francisco, obviously, key weapons, including two of the best running backs in the league. Las Vegas, not so much.
Yeah. All right. Under. All that for me to say under.
Okay.
I despise this week's lineup.
It really is kind of ugly this week, isn't it? Yeah. Although if you want something that's really ugly, just kind of think to yourself, this is the time where you can kind of play some of those players that you don't always like, but you think they might do good. The ones that think that sound good to you this week.
There you go. All right. Who are you paying up for a quarterback?
I actually like a lot of the quarterbacks this week, at least the higher priced quarterbacks. So I could have opted for really any number of them. They're all pretty good. I settled on a guy at home coming off a subpar performance. That's Tua Tagovailoa at home versus the Giants. It's actually over a grand cheaper than Patrick Mahomes on both sites. I think that was kind of my divining factor with going with him. This is the Giants. He faced the Bills last week, and for whatever reason, the Bills just seem to have Tua's number. This is the Giants. We're watching them right now, so we don't know their final line for this week is going to be, but their defense doesn't really scare anyone.
And they can. Depends on where it's at, right? So it's in Miami, so I agree with you, because Tua's the first name I wrote down. I crossed him out, and then I wrote down Kirk, because I like Kirk at home playing catch-up more than likely. But then I decided that I just couldn't call Kirk at $6,900 my pay-up, so I went back to Tua, who's a couple hundred dollars more and a lot more on FanDuel. So we have a match. Tua is my pay-up also.
Again, along those lines, like I said, I don't behoove anyone playing Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, or Anthony Richardson, the other top four guys in the price range.
Yeah. I mean, Hurts is really interesting to me, too. One, he's on the road, so I don't like that. Two, facing Aaron Donald, defensive line there. Hurts, I think he hasn't looked like he's been playing all world so far. He completed like 67% of his passes against Washington this week and had a couple of really nice throws. That touchdown throw was amazing. But
here's a question.
Good.
Does Aaron Donald stop the tush push?
No, I don't think so. But it's also, it's not the tush push. It's the tush push for anybody but Philly. For Philly, it's the brotherly shove.
I like that.
Anyway, the part that I don't like about Hurts right now is he seems tentative of running the ball. I don't know if it's just that they've ingrained in him, get down. But he just, I don't see the RPOs. I don't see him holding, pulling weight. I just don't see that. It seems very tentative to me. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's just him and the new offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, trying to get on the same page. I really don't know what it is. But that's one of the things I don't like, the fact that it's on the road. I kind of took the same stance with Mahomes. He didn't look really good last night, honestly. But the Jets have a decent defense.
He had a couple of really ugly passes last night.
He sure did. I won't begrudge anybody. They want to play him, right? He's Patrick Mahomes. But I didn't love the fact that both of those guys were on the road. So that's why I settled down on Tua.
Okay. Who are you staying away from?
Well, that said, this guy's on the road. A ton of his teammates are hurt. I think that the defense, while it has some issues, it's also a pretty daggone strong defense. I don't see the value in playing Lamar Jackson this week.
You know, I hear you and I understand. I certainly would not behoove someone staying away from Lamar Jackson. We are not a match.
You're staying away from Kirk Cousins.
No, I'm actually staying away from Joe Burrow. He's already been named the starter. Yeah. For what reason, I don't know. It's at Arizona. And you know what? Here's the thing. Arizona's defense has actually played a lot better than everyone kind of assumed that they would. They've only allowed 5 passing touchdowns. They have allowed a league-worst 3 rushing quarterback touchdowns. But, well, Burrow is not going to be running the ball anywhere this week. So they don't have to worry about Burrow running the ball here. And there's a good chance that T. Higgins might not play because he's got fractured ribs. So
he's not playing.
Yeah.
From what I understand, he's not playing. So I think this is telling also. I'll be honest with you. Burrow is so low priced, I didn't even look at him as a stay away. He's only $200 higher than C.J. Stroud on DraftKings, and he's $200 less on FanDuel.
I will say this. CJ Stroud is not my value play this week, but I guarantee you that people who check out this week's Dominator on Friday will see CJ Stroud featured quite heavily in this week's article, because I do love him as a play this week.
I don't disagree with that, but you also know how the early season algorithms work from a pricing standpoint too, right? So to see them that caught up at this early stage of the season says something to me. So who is your value play?
My value play? Hold your hats. Zach Wilson at Denver. 4,900 on DraftKings, 6,700 on FanDuel. As I said, Wilson looked somewhat competent versus the Chiefs, and the Chiefs' secondary is actually pretty elite. And now he's facing a Denver defense that's allowed a league-high 13 passing touchdowns and a league-second-high 303 passing yards per game. Again, if Wilson can get done against the Chiefs even slightly, I think he's a guarantee for 250 and two against Denver.
You know, I looked at that, but I didn't like the matchup against Denver. Just, I didn't. I also don't know if I believe my eyes from what I saw this past week, honestly, right? Is there an Aaron Rodgers effect? Is there a Taylor Swift effect? Is there a Sunday Night Football effect? I don't know. I thought we were going to match with the way you were leading up to this. I'm going with a guy that's at home that I believe has really outperformed most people's expectations so far. No, I'm not talking about Mac Jones. No, I'm not talking about Kenny Pickett. I'm not talking about Mitch Trubisky or Desmond Ridder. I'm talking about Joshua Dobbs. $5,200. I mean, he's
only a good price. And you're right. He has way outperformed his things. And we may talk about him again soon here.
Yeah, I don't see how you don't get three times value on him, especially DraftKings.
Totally.
All right.
He is another one of those guys that will probably be featured quite heavily in this coming week's Dominator.
Yep, there you go. Let's talk running backs. Who are you going to pay up for at running back?
I think this one was pretty obvious when you discount the players who are injured or questionable.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson versus Houston, 7,700 on DraftKings, 8,200 on FanDuel. He is the only part of this Atlanta offense that is doing anything. He's facing a perennial rushing defense whipping boy in the Texans. Just pay up for him. It's a pretty crappy slate at the running back position. You might as well take advantage here.
So, okay, you're going to have to decide. You're going to need to rule on if there's a true match here or not. I wrote Bijan down, and I crossed him out. And I crossed him out because if I'm going to recommend somebody as a pay-up, I need to see three times value out of him. He has to hit 22 to 24-plus points. I don't care that he's the only thing doing anything in Atlanta. I don't know that we can trust him to get in the end zone twice, which is what it's going to take to even barely get there. So you know who my pay-up is? What?
Okay.
I wrote down no one. So I will let you rule. Match, half match, no match.
I'll give you a half match in that one in case we tie on the push. We'll credit that one as a half match.
All right. We'll count it as a half a star then. All right. Who's your stay away this week?
Also, I considered Derrick Henry. Yeah. At Indianapolis, but you know what? He actually looked okay last week, and much like Bijan, he's really the only thing working right now for Tennessee. So I went just a couple players down the list, and lo and behold, Kyren Williams is the fifth highest priced player on DraftKings.
Hey, hey,
how is that physically possible?
Hey, hey,
he's actually number six on FanDuel.
Yeah, we actually have a match there, and it's nothing against Kyren Williams. It's everything to do with, one, that price. Two, he's facing a Philadelphia defense that's pretty daggone stout against the run.
Here's the stat on Philadelphia's defense here in comparison. Kyren Williams has six touchdowns over the first 4 weeks. That seems very impressive. The problem is he's still averaging under 4 yards per carry.
Yep.
And now he's going to face a Philly defense that's allowing less than 3 yards per carry and less than 48 yards per game on the ground.
And
yes, Williams has been used in the passing game. He's seen 22 targets over the first 4 weeks. And Philadelphia actually has been kind of generous to receiving backs. But the problem is, well, he's received 22 targets. He's only caught 11 of them.
That's not good.
No.
The third part was, I was going to say, so the first part is his price. The second part's facing Philly. Actually, put it should have been reversed. First, he's facing Philly. Second, it's his price. Third, everybody and their mother's going to want to chase those points from this past week. Let them have it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We're going to get to the end of next week, and Kyren Williams is going to have 65 yards or so, and he's going to have one touchdown, and it's going to look like an acceptable line. And on a slate where two of the top five guys may not even play, it'll seem acceptable from that standpoint. But the fact of the matter is, why do you want to settle for that when you can get Bijan for only $400 more on FanDuel?
Right, yeah, I do. I see that point, too. Just I'm staying away from all of them, sorry. Okay, value play. Who do you have in value?
Okay, I thought we'd match on a couple of these running backs, so we probably will match on the value play here. I'm going to go with Breece Hall at Denver. Now, yes, their positional stats were heavily inflated due to their game against Miami, but it wasn't just against Miami. The Broncos have also been gouged by both Josh Jacobs and Brian Robinson. Neither of these two backs is very elite. Breece Hall isn't very elite, but he's at least on par with those two.
We don't match. I don't like that it's on the road. I don't like that it's in Denver, different place to play, especially if you're a rookie. As he's never played there before, right? Altitude and all that kind of stuff plays a factor. I don't know if I trust Zach Wilson, rather. I don't know if I trust him. So I went down. I was like, oh, I feel like Harley last week in my grudge matches. I looked at Jerick McKinnon. I wrote Jerick McKinnon down. Going back home with Kansas City versus his former team, the Vikings, but it's been so long ago. Is there really any kind of revenge there? I don't know. So I crossed him out. And then I went down and I looked at Chuba Hubbard, who actually out-touched, I believe.
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders, thank you. Miles Sanders this past week, and at 4,500, he's not bad. But you know what? Detroit's defense isn't anything to shake a stick at either. So now you got the rule again. I wrote down no one. The first time I ever wrote down no one was for my pay up, and the second time ever was for my value play. So you can decide if there's any kind of points to be awarded there.
I'm not going to give anything on that one then, so it evens out. But if you're going to pay up for no one, I think the obvious value play if you wanted to go no one there is Tyler Allgeier, who is near the bottom of the pricing scope there, with the assumption that he might get a touchdown or two in relief of Bijan in that game.
He also could wind up getting 10% at one time, not even 10 times. I don't know. I told you I hated this slate. I don't like it.
Yeah, realistically, the only other backs that I kind of like based on their price are guys with question marks surrounding them. Gus Edwards at Pittsburgh, Jaleel McLaughlin. How much of that time is going to be his next week when they've got a full week to game script without.
And they're playing the Jets.
And they're playing the Jets and Quinnen Williams. That's not exactly the best thing to go up against there.
Nope.
Again, choosing between either of the Miami backs, they both have a good matchup, but they're both priced too high to really trust either of them.
Especially for 14 touches. Right.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, again, Alexander Mattison's not involved in the passing game for Minnesota.
Yep. Don't trust Matt Breida. Right. Don't trust Miles Sanders. Don't trust Damian Pierce, although this might be the best game script that he has. I don't know. Do you give Najee Harris a look? Najee's still priced more than he should be based on production this year. I just absolutely was like, you know what? I can't in good conscience give somebody a value play. But if I had to, I'll say Chuba, but I really want to say no one.
It's understandable.
Pay up at wide receiver somewhere, hopefully. Speaking of wide receiver,
yes, I am paying up.
Okay. Who are you paying up for at wide receiver?
I pay up for the Cheetah versus New York. He's coming off a down performance against Buffalo, but he'll get an obviously easier matchup here against the Giants. He has actually scored and or topped 100 yards in 11 of his last 14 games.
Nothing wrong with that. We do have a match, by the way, but I did consider JJ. But here's what I probably honestly would do. I'd play Tyreek on DraftKings where he's $400 less, and I played JJ on FanDuel where he's $200 less.
Yeah, I like JJ to have a pretty good game. He's obviously been he's been huge the first 3 weeks of the season. His numbers in terms of yardage and catches were down a little bit in week four, but he did score twice. My biggest concern there is that while they will be playing from behind and they'll have to throw the ball a lot, Trent McDuffie has actually been a very, very good cornerback for KC, both last year and this year. And so I think that Jefferson's yardage and receiving numbers might be a little bit lower again, just like last week. He's still going to score.
Yeah.
He's still going to probably approach 100 yards, but I'm less concerned about Tyreek Hill against the Giants than I am about Justin Jefferson versus the Chiefs.
That's fair. That's a fair stance to have. Who are you staying away from?
Well, I'm staying away from Joe Burrow, so I'm going to stay away from his top receiver, Jamar Chase. 7,900 on DraftKings, 8,700 on FanDuel. That price just sounds way wrong there. Prior to Brandon Ayuk posting 6 catches for 148 yards against Arizona last weekend, the other 3 number one wide receivers to face Arizona have averaged only 3 catches and 49 yards. None of them scored. So if Joe Burrow was fully healthy, if T. Higgins was fully healthy to draw some attention away, then yeah, maybe Jamar Chase at Arizona and what should have been a positive game script for Cincinnati. But right now, I don't even know for certain if Cincinnati is going to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. That's not a bad stance to have. It's not a match. And I'm going to say I'm staying away from somebody that probably normally I wouldn't say, because it's kind of like injury related, and you know how we are about when people are coming back. But I think that there will be some people that are salivating to try and get Cooper Kupp into their lineup with what Puka Nacua has done. Did I get that right? I got that right. Wow.
Yeah.
It's just too risky. You don't know how or what they're going to do within the roles and stuff like that. Is he going to be eased in? Is he going to play everything like he used to? Is he going to take the role and Puka winds up not getting what he would normally get? Like, to me, this is more of a stance to say you don't need to take that kind of a risk when you're playing DFS. So that's why I'm using him as my stay away to kind of make a point.
I agree. And realistically, do we know for certain he's going to play this week?
No, that's the thing. But I know there's a good enough chance from what everybody's saying, what I've been hearing, for me to want to say that to point it out.
Okay. So there's no chance in hell we're going to miss a match in our value play.
I don't know. Let's see what you got.
Remember I said I'm staying away from Jamar Chase?
Yes.
My value play is in the same game.
Okay.
My value play is Michael Wilson versus Cincinnati. 3,700 on DraftKings, 5,300 on FanDuel. I've already put his name into about 25 lineups for next week. Cincinnati has allowed a big game to 3 straight non-wide receiver ones, so non-alphas, and all 3 of them were outside wide receivers. Nelson Aguilar, Tutu Atwell, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. These are all number 2 or number 3 receivers that operate on the outside. That's what Michael Wilson is in the Arizona offense. Now, Michael Wilson, his numbers have risen each week, culminating in a huge 7-catch, 76-yard, and 2-touchdown game this week. So you know what? His numbers are on the way up, and since he's having trouble with those outside receivers right now.
So I don't hate it. And actually, he was highlighted. I didn't write him down, but he was highlighted on my sheet for when we talked about this. So you nailed it. I do feel like some people may try to chase some points with him, so his ownership may be higher than what you would expect it to be. So how I just told you don't play Cooper Kupp coming back from injury, I'm going to sound like I'm just hypocritical here. Jameson Williams at $4,000. It's a throwaway, okay? This is where you can just hedge your lineup and go play somebody else instead. The coach has already said he's got to ramp up. He's probably not going to play 60 snaps, right? Doesn't expect it. Doesn't mean he's not going to. Here's the thing. Dude doesn't need to at $4,000.
He's not coming off an injury. That's the thing that a lot of people don't realize.
He's coming off a suspension, and he's been electric. He scores at least once and puts up 80 yards this week. I don't care if it's
completely
limited.
Possible against Carolina. Carolina is still without top cornerback J.C. Horn. And realistically, when you're facing Detroit, the first cornerback for Carolina will be watching and trying to shadow Amon-Ra St. Brown, which is going to leave pathetic coverages against Williams.
Yep. I've been waiting for this guy to get back. I drafted him in some best ball leagues, knowing I wouldn't see him for 4 or 5 weeks. He's been explosive. At $4,000, I think it's worth a shot.
And he's another example of a mistake made by Kwesi Adofo-Mensah in that first draft.
There you go. There you go. You just like saying his name, show off.
Exactly. Well, talk about names. I think we've all been mispronouncing Devon Achan's name all season. So,
unfortunately, I didn't pay attention during the one game he was on my TV to how the announcer said his name. So I don't know how to say it properly. So I'm going to pass.
Well, he came out this week and said that's how he wants it pronounced. Oh. Devon Achan.
Let's call him TD Maker if he keeps getting in the end zone.
Exactly.
All right, so we had no matches at wide receiver. That's unusual for us. I'm sorry. We did. We matched at Tyreek. What am I saying? See, I looked at my thing and saw where I crossed JJ out initially. So we're at 2.5 matches, which means we have to run the tight end spot to pull off the over. Who are you paying up for at tight end?
I'm going to pay up for Mr. Swift, a 7,600 on DraftKings, and the comical price of 87.89 on FanDuel. No, that is not a typo. That is his price on FanDuel, 87.89. It's Kelce versus a middling Minnesota secondary that gave up 6 receptions apiece to both Dallas Goedert and Gerald Everett, that gave up 2 short touchdowns to Donald Parham. Ironically, Minnesota has been better against the tight end position than they have against wide receivers, but Travis Kelce is basically a wide receiver, so yeah, he's going to go off here.
Hey, wait a minute. We matched on Kyren also, didn't we? Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So we're 4.5 now then, because I'm paying up for Travis Kelce also.
Excellent. $87.89.
Actually, that should only
That's going to completely screw up the math on some of these formulas for people.
That should actually only be a half match. That should actually only be a half match, because I said I'm paying up for Travis Kelce, and you said you were paying up for Travis Swift. So just saying.
Yes.
All right, who are you staying away from? Who are you staying away from?
It's just interesting. Both Kelces have someone named Swift that they rely on now.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to stay away from the guy who we should have played last week, but we both stayed away from anyways, and that was Mark Andrews. I'm going to stay away from him this week, too. It's Mark Andrews at Pittsburgh. Andrews actually beat a tough tight end defense in Cleveland last week. I just don't think he can make it 2 in a row. Dalton Schultz scored a touchdown against Pittsburgh last weekend. But for the season, they are allowing an average of only 3 catches and 28 yards to the position, despite facing actually some high-end options such as David Njoku, George Kittle, Schultz last weekend, and Austin Hooper, who really hasn't been dynamic this year, but he has been in the past. So they faced decent tight ends, and they've held them in check. I think they're going to hold Andrews in check this week.
Well, we almost hit the over right there, because I initially had Andrews marked – and I crossed him out because I was like, well, if I'm paying up for Kelce, that means I'm not paying up for TJ Hockenson. Probably not good logic there, but that's how I looked at it. And the reason I want to point that out is if you're paying up for Kelce, you're doing so knowing that he cost $1,100 more on DraftKings, and I'm not doing the math, but almost $1,000 more on FanDuel. So just take
it's Hockenson. It's closer to $1,900, actually.
You're right. It is. I'm sorry. It's almost $2,000, basically. It's $1,900 and change. So for those reasons, and normally I wouldn't have him as my stay away, but that's why I went and I put Hawk as my stay away.
Okay. Well, and if you do make some showdown laps for that game, obviously you can correlate by playing both of them if you want. Again,
you can
talked about this a little bit earlier. Jefferson is that if you're going to take a shot on one of the players in the Minnesota offense, I'd rather go with Jefferson than Hockenson this week.
Well, and the other thing is that's where we talked about you could hedge it, right? Well, I'm going to do one lineup with Kelce, and I'll do one with Hawks. I'm not sure who I want.
Exactly.
All right, who's your value play?
I just mentioned the guy who's going to be my value play. He scored this past week, and that's Dalton Schultz at Atlanta. Atlanta is averaging 7 receptions, 57 yards, and half a touchdown per game to opposing tight ends. Dalton's coming off scoring his first TD of the season. Obviously, last season he was much more involved as the primary tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. But that offense in Houston is for real. I like him to score again here.
So I almost was like, you know, played it like coy, and I almost said my value play is Travis Kelce. Oh, no, my value play is TJ Hockenson because I don't want to pay up for that, but it's a value compared to Travis Kelce, so I'm going to take him as my value play, right? But then at the end of the day, I decided to – I landed on a guy who's cheap, very, very cheap. There's some metrics that have been in his favor. There's a lot of mouths to feed, so it's probably not that good of a play. But I look at it this way. If I'm punting at this price, that gives me the ability to hopefully move some of those higher-priced wide receivers into my lineup. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I went with a guy. His last name, I believe, is pronounced this way. Maybe it's not. I could be wrong. I don't know. He had four targets this weekend, caught all four of them, no touchdowns, 4 for 41. His name's Durham Smythe. For the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Smythe actually was a popular play for me a couple of weeks ago. He had kind of a dud game in that one, but he came back and had a pretty solid game this past week. He's kind of that other option in the Miami passing game, particularly with them having some injuries to their depth players at that position. Right now, obviously, they just got Waddle back from his injury.
Yep.
And Hill was actually binged up a little bit the week before that, but he did play through it, obviously, and he had a huge game. But after those two, you're looking at backup guys like Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft. So it's like, yeah, they're not much higher than Durham Smythe. And Durham Smythe is priced cheap. He's at $3,000 on DraftKings, only $4,800 on FanDuel, both of which are really nice prices. You can really piss off the player in your if you happen to be like in a head-to-head tournament against one of the players in your league and they happen to have Kyle Pitts as their regular tight end. Maybe play Janu Smith, just get in their head a little bit. And also be aware of the fact that Pat Freiermuth is injured. He may or may not play for Pittsburgh this week. And if he doesn't, then you may take a chance on the big rookie Darnell Washington, who, while he isn't exactly your prototypical pass-catching tight end, he is a monster, physical monster and speed and specimen, who could be like a Donald Parham, could catch one or two catches right inside the red zone there for touchdowns.
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't hate your pick of Schultz as a value play at all. Not at all. I almost landed on Kyle Pitts. I was like, nope, been there before. Not doing it. He can have 5 touchdowns this week, 175 yards on 8 catches, and I won't regret it. He's going to have to show me a few more consistent weeks before I can say that I could even consider him. So that's what you have. And guess what? That means the under hit. 4.5. Vegas.
Yeah, I really felt running back and tight end were going to be our two strong suits this week in terms of matches. And
we got two and a half. 2.5 of our 4.5 came there. We usually match two out of three, usually a quarterback too. So anyway, but hey, a lot of stuff can change. That's why they can always reach out to you on Twitter at Nuclear Harley. You can reach out to me at Steve Gallo NFL. And of course, all kinds of good stuff for you on the Huddle. If you're not a member there, get off it, get out your wallet, and subscribe. It's a 1-year membership, so it starts from the day you purchase it. So it's not like you'll be shorted and only get a partial year. And like we, as we like to say, especially now that it's starting to cool off, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.